Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Reaccess Hollywood, the show where two friends who've already seen every episode of BoJack Horseman watch through it all over again, simply for the purposes of having an educated discussion about it. I am a Rob Wilson type.
I'm a Samuel Cook type.
And after nearly 4 months off, we're back to continue pressing on with season two of everybody's favourite Netflix original series that features a horse. As I said, there has been a long gap between episodes. That's because I was in hospital in March. The final season of Game of Thrones aired in April and May, and I decided to host a podcast about that. And then I was in hospital again earlier this month. But now we're back, and we're ready to discuss Season 2, Episode 5, which is Chickens, and Season 2, Episode 6, which is Higher Love. Sam, before we came to do this episode, I know that you mentioned that you didn't like Chickens, and I remembered it being one of my least favourite episodes. What did you make of Chickens?
I've really come around on it. I surprised myself, and the episode surprised me as well. I don't hate it anymore. I think if I could, if I was to sum it up, I'd probably say that it was surprisingly good. It's not a masterpiece, obviously, but it's nowhere near as bad as I thought, which I think goes to prove that we have really kicked into a higher gear. If it was in season one, it'd probably be one of the better season one episodes as well, I think now. Surprisingly good, just as a tagline, at least from myself. Just, where was this on my first three or four watches? Why did I not enjoy it? I don't know what's happened, but I sat down and I thought, this is going to be a subpar start or like resume to the podcast, and then no, what a almost a triumph, at least for me, because I didn't expect to like this at all, but everything, almost everything clicked. I mean, any episode that's got Fuzzy Face in it, how can I hate that? I can't hate that episode. So yeah, surprisingly good.
I was less enamoured with it. I still liked it, but not to the same degree that I like other episodes, really. Just as a little catch-up for those who are maybe, I don't know, maybe you're going through a BoJack Horseman rewatch of your own and you've caught up to this episode. BoJack Horseman really wants his director Kelsey to like him, Todd, Diane and Kelsey's daughter help a chicken who's on the run from the police. So that's the little synopsis catch-up. I think this is fine. It's just that when BoJack really clicks into gear, which I think that it kind of did sort of like midway through season one and sort of towards the end. There's a similar episode in season three, BoJack Kills, where because the narrative and the plot get so strong as it goes on, these side mission episodes, as I kind of like to call them, they feel less effective. They feel a little bit frivolous and a bit, not pointless, but they just don't, they don't seem to achieve as much. And as BoJack becomes a more serious show, I find that I much prefer the serious side of it, as opposed to the, I always think that the irreverent humour is a nice little tonic to the more serious stuff. But when it tends to dominate an entire episode, it's not like I struggle with it. I still sort of enjoy it, but I think when I weigh it up against every episode around it, this isn't BoJack firing on all cylinders. This is just BoJack doing a silly episode that just happens to be better than other silly episodes that were put together in the first season. Because, as you say, we're operating on a higher level now.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, or do you think that if this was put in a later, more depressing season or a more serious a season, that you'd maybe enjoy it more?
Maybe, yeah, maybe. I'm not, and I also think that there are moments in this episode where my favourite line of the whole episode is quite funny, actually. It made me think of you, because I know that Todd isn't one of your favourite characters in this, because the stories that he seems to be given mostly just involve silly side missions that have no real, you know, he feels a bit disconnected to the main plot, and disconnected from the main plot, sorry. So, you know, it's hard to fully be on board with him in the same way that you would be, say, Diane or Princess Caroline or BoJack or whatever. But in this episode, I feel like when he mentions that, that he feels like his life is just a series of wacky misadventures. And then Diane kind of adds a load of gravity to that situation where she says, that's basically just what being in your 20s is. And
It
kind of brings the episode home a little bit. Like I say, it's not my absolute favourite. I think it's another episode that's basically like a temporary side mission. I think my problem with this one is that you feasibly could skip it entirely and not lose track of where you are. And like that's hardly a crime. It's just that this feels like less of a crucial piece of the whole puzzle, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a perfectly good, almost a throwaway episode, if you want to say that. I mean, it's not essential to the plot. It's not emotionally, you know, it's not going to impact us emotionally. It probably won't even, you know, make the top. It's not going to be a top 10, you know, kind of list like troubling episode. It's just a throwaway episode. Almost, I think, after the break that we've taken. It's almost a perfect kind of like dive in because we've gone from the very uneven season one with a lot more slapstick and a lot less like gravitas behind it to going, and then we did the first four episodes and we began to discover more of the emotional impact that the show can have, and then this is almost like it's a palate cleanser, but almost it could be an introduction to the show, I think, because of how it's not a complex episode at all. It's just easy, almost in your face. It's quite brash, and it's, you know, you could just watch it as a standalone episode and you wouldn't have to invest yourself too much in it.
No.
It's just enjoyable. Like, if you put on something from a late season, you definitely have to watch everything beforehand to get it. Whereas this, it's almost like if you throw on an episode of The Simpsons, you don't have to know anything because everything's in its own universe, like for that particular episode. I think it's one of these, and I think if I'm judging it as that, it is good, but as a piece to continue a narrative, there's like nothing here, is there really? It's just a perfectly serviceable like piece of almost, you know, like pop music. It's just like it's the equivalent of a serviceable 3-minute enjoyable pop song, I think. Which, I mean, I think sometimes you need it. It's maybe not a BoJack thing, because we're expecting, you know, symphony levels of...
Yeah. No, I totally get where you're going with this.
But sometimes, and especially like with what we've, you know, as we've missed a lot of time off, it's almost a welcoming reintroduction to what we're doing. Because I think if we came back and it was certainly something more heavy, like a heavier episode, like say we jump back in and it was an episode 11 of any season, it would almost appear a bit daunting, you know, for us, for an audience, for anybody, because we'll have been out of the loop almost with the episodes, and I think that episode 11 and episode 12 of every season, you have to have almost binge watched everything. But with this, it's just a nice refresher to get back in.
Yeah, no, I do totally agree with that, and I think there is some good stuff in this episode. I remember, I think there's some good stuff in this episode. I like it, but I remember when I first watched this, I did find it kind of hysterical that they managed to find new ways to develop jokes from the Beck, that kind of Bach, the favourite composer, Backbone. You know, all that. I was impressed with how long they managed to sustain that joke for without it getting too ridiculous or just boring or silly. And, you know, considering Becca's basically a one-note character, she does really well to survive for so long on the same gimmick. So yeah, no, I was a fan of that, and I liked the way Becca left the episode with Diane going, she really stretched out that dress. And because it didn't quite hit me initially that it was in Diane's room that Todd was raiding through in order to find Becca some clothes. And so yeah, no, I'm not a huge fan of Meow Meow Fuzzy Face as a character. Like, not a massive fan. I think that he's alright. He's not the kind of character where if he's on screen, I'm, you know, visually arrested for the whole time. I mean, to excuse the unintended pun there, because he's a police officer. But, like, you know, I don't necessarily love him or anything like that. But, you know, there's a nice little dynamic operating there for the brief points at which he's on screen with them both, and the moment where he has his realization is quite funny. You know, that man's wife was a chicken, or as he would put it, chicken. And the stuff with BoJack was all right, and the stuff with Meow Meow Fuzzy Face separately to the plot was quite good. I liked the parody of cop shows. The loose cannon. I'm going to put on a pot of coffee. We're going to get to the bottom of this. Like, that was all alright. I think it's just not what I demand of a BoJack episode anymore. At the time, I remember when season 2 was just out, I remember enjoying this episode. And before sort of like season 4 and 5, I enjoyed it too, and I just enjoy it to a lesser degree now because the show has done similar kinds of episodes at a higher standard since, where you have like a jokey little episode. I'm thinking BoJack Kills, I'm thinking Hooray Todd episode,
yeah,
where they're just stronger. I think they're just stronger. And so I have no major issues with this episode at all. I am just not. It was the BoJack stuff with Kelsey was a bit of a letdown, where he spends most of the episode kind of acting not out of character, but just acting a certain way that I found him a little irritating. Nothing major, but and I think that the conclusion it came to was quite nice, where the guy rolls by in the truck, women who love recycling. Was a great little punchline to the setup that they spent a little time devising. And so yeah, no, it was. I think it was all right. I just have very little to say about it, to be honest.
I mean, it's just okay. I mean, I'm not coming in from thinking that I was going to hate it for years, and then coming back and watching it, and I'm not giving it like a, you know, like a rave review. It's just, it's a pleasant palate cleanser. There's been some, you know, there's some okay funny bits. I think BoJack showed himself to be irritating, as you say. I mean, I'm a fan of BoJack as a character, but he is irritating, and he's definitely trying too hard here. But it all works out. It screams stereotypical sitcom episode where, oh, so you're famous and you're all free to go. And it's almost like they could do a freeze frame in the 80s and that'd be it. That'd be the end of the episode. And then, oh, look, next week it's something completely different, which it's not a BoJack episode. It's just, it almost seems like a pilot episode for something.
Yeah, it's like Saturday morning kids TV a little bit. Yeah. Obviously without the violent gun-related you know, stuff like that.
But it's fine.
But I don't know, there's stuff like, I wasn't really a fan of the Princess Carolyn stuff. I feel like they could have just left that out. Stuff at the wedding, like, if you're barely going to use Princess Carolyn, just don't.
It's just meant to be for visual gags, I think, and they were all kind of poor or obvious visual gags, and there were no real need.
Yeah.
For it. Again, with Beck and Becca and all that, that was fine. I enjoyed that. Back, not Vivaldi. You're insane. I mean, I'm not sure about that. But the news, when they were on the news, and is it Tommy on the news when he was talking about his ex-wife?
Oh, the wife thing. Yeah, I didn't get... Shannon, we spent beautiful years together. Like, what kind of joke is that?
I don't know what it means or what it's attempting to achieve, but I think it's just the sharp cut from sounds like my ex-wife, hey-o, to then, and then he pulls and he goes to a different camera. Oh, we spent 12 beautiful years together.
I feel like they forced that joke in.
Yeah, I mean, I just like the delivery of Tommy the newscaster, Tommy the whale. Anything at that news station, it seems to be
the chaotic mess of a news almost, station.
But I like it. It's like the pun of the it's like the Yoko Ono pun, Yoko Ono. but that's
fantastic in your accent, by the way.
Yoko Ono, yeah. very Northern Britain, yeah. But it's a good episode. It's a fine to good episode. Parallels between the chickens and the Movementarians from The Simpsons, I was thinking. They're all very cultish. I don't know if that's just because I keep bumping into these.
It's funny you should say that, because I find the Movementarians are the na-na-na-na-na-na-na leader, right, people, yeah. Right? That's a very Saturday morning television episode as well. It doesn't to me feel like a Simpsons episode. It's one of my least favourites of season 9. Mm. But it's funny that you've come to that conclusion when I've just mentioned that. Yeah, that's really weird that you would describe that, I would describe chickens and the joy of sect in the same terms, and you've just brought it up independently. That's so weird.
I think that's an episode that I find perfectly fine. It's not... I mean, it's very season 9, Simpsons, but...
yeah.
Because you've got Homer, irritating Homer there, I think. And you've got I'm not a Todd fan. I find him irritating. I even put in my notes, he's at his most irritating here. But it's almost a knowing irritation. So that's, he almost gets a pass. BoJack's annoying. Diane, on this rewatch of the show, I'm not digging her at all. She's just trying too hard to be a badass, and for me in this episode at least. But it's fine. The episode's fine. Drew Barrymore gets a mention, and I do think that Never Been Kissed is an underrated film. I watched that a lot as a child, I think, just because it was... I had a bunch of 80s martial arts-like films, and Never Been Kissed was at the front of the tape for some reason, but I watched it. It's all right, but I don't know where that's going. But yeah, there's nothing wrong with a bit of 90s rom-com nostalgia. But again, like 90s rom-coms and like this episode, it's just light relief. It's not Citizen Kane. It's not a free churro. It's not Beethoven's Ninth. It's just fine. It'll do.
Yeah. So I would give it a 6.5, 6.5.
I'm going to go a light to mid 7.
Cool. So next up is Higher Love. Not to be confused with the... bloody hell. Steve Winwood, that's it. Not to be confused with the Steve Winwood song. So Princess Carolyn sees an opportunity when Mr. Peanut Butter's agent dies. BoJack flips when he says the L word out loud to Wanda. Now, this episode is immediately much better because Wanda's in it. So...
yeah,
no, love me some Wanda. I think that this is a good episode. I don't think it's a great one. Nothing particularly... there's no major gripe with it. It was just... the stuff that was good was just at a level that's beneath excellent stuff, and still great though.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's after watching Chickens, this is what we need. This is getting straight back into, you know, what we need. We've got Broken BoJack struggling with everything again. Obviously saying the big three words, which can ruin or make anything. But anything with Lisa Kudrow and her voice performance here, anytime she's in this episode, or in the show, I mean, that'll do for me.
Yeah.
I think she gets even better, like, once we do the Hollywood Stars and Stripes. you know what I mean? She's great in that episode. The only downside of this episode is that there's far too much Rutabaga for my liking. He is my least favourite character in anything ever, because, I mean, I suppose he's meant to be annoying and a bit sleazy.
He is a bit, yeah.
But, oh my God.
A bit too chipper.
He's too much for me.
I think he's all right in this episode because, to be honest, whenever Princess Carolyn's doing anything, she's like Wanda to me, where if she's in an episode prominently, then it tends to be better than ones without her. And to be honest, the Princess Carolyn stuff goes down an interesting road here, because the Hollywood Stars and Celebrities, What Do They Know? Do They Know Things? Let's Find Out, is... it's become a widely used quote in my family since we started watching the show. Because we'll say something where the logical answer would just be, we'll find out when we get there. Or we'll find out when it happens, or this or that, or whatever. And now we've kind of taken to, when anybody asks one of those questions, it could be answered logically, quickly, with Let's Find Out. I always go, Hollywood Stars and Celebrities, What Do They Know? Do They Know Things? Let's Find Out. And this is where it comes from, and it lifts this episode up.
I mean, I wish I knew people that I could inject BoJack Horseman quotes. I mean, obviously, I'm not looking hard enough. I need somebody to quote this at, because it's all well and good quoting steamed hams for the millionth time, but this is not a lot less well-known, but... Anybody who, like, if I met a girl and she quoted BoJack Horseman after I mentioned something, I'd probably just get down on one knee right there and then. That'll, you know, you know, I would be a happy man and that'd be it. You know?
I mean, if your standards are that low, like, if your expectations are that low, then I reckon you really aren't looking hard enough. Like, I reckon if you just kind of moved around the internet for a day and looked and made enough of an effort, I reckon you'd find somebody pretty quick there.
There's not a lot of girls who quote BoJack Horseman in my local area, or 30 miles in a 30-mile radius, which, I mean, look, come on, York, what are you playing at? You know, you've got a better internet speed. You can watch BoJack Horseman, but no, there'll be something else. I don't like, I've never seen RuPaul's Drag Race, so no offence to anybody, but RuPaul's Drag Race, you want to watch that again? Or you can watch BoJack Horseman and quote it, and then get proposed? That too, you know.
By
me.
Of all people.
You know, that'd be great for me. And then I can go home. Oh, right, I could asphyxiate myself. And there we go.
You could do the blue face blast off, the strokey chokey, the two neck squeeze, the Adam's apple on the Adam's banana, gasping, choking off, the funky Spider-Man, or the gasping goo.
The gasping goo.
I made a point of writing down all the nicknames they have for that. As you could tell. At the start of the episode, I noticed a little joke... where they mentioned that somebody bought the movie rights to the game Tag.
Love that. Love the poster.
Because there is a movie about the game Tag now.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's shit.
I've not seen it. The only film that I'm aware of, like, with that title is a Japanese weird, like, really violent film where the lead character is played by three different women at three different points. It's by one of my favourite directors, Sion Sono, and it's recommended just for like a wig out, like, you know, a really fucked up time.
Is this from 2015?
Yeah, I believe so.
Excellent. Oh, right, okay, cool.
That's a really interesting watch. I've not seen the American...
I honestly did not like it at all. There was, just very quickly, there's lots of potential in TAG for it to analyse the state of arrested development the main characters are in because they're playing this game TAG and it means they don't let go of the past, how it affects their family, all of that. There's loads of potential, but instead it's just Hannibal Buress and Jeremy Renner and a few other familiar faces from American comedy down the years. The guy who was the lead in The Hangover, I forget his name.
Is it Ed, Ed Helms, is it that one?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Regardless, did not enjoy myself. That's also, I'm right in saying that the accountant comes back in this episode.
Yeah.
He's cool. Shout out to a fellow celiac there, by the way. He would never have bagels, and neither would I. But yeah, just to get back to Wanda and the thing that really ignites this episode, everything is better when Wanda is around. And I think it's because, I think in a usual sitcom scenario, BoJack would say, I love you, or love ya, and that would be it. That would be the panic. But what this episode does is take it on about another 2 or 3 yards just by having BoJack say, no, I don't. And that's the thing that ignites the episode. It's not necessarily that he says that he loves her. It's the fact that he doesn't know how to deal with it. And he says, no, I don't. And that's the problem. I think that for BoJack in this episode where, you know, it's not just that he said, I love you. It's that he's come back and gone, no, I don't. Like, I remember when I was first starting dating my ex-girlfriend. This was like 6 years ago now. And we weren't together, but we were dating, I think. Mm-hmm. And we said goodbye to each other in front of a friend. She was going to stay around his house for a bit and I was going to go home because I lived a bit further away than she did. And as I was leaving, we weren't together at this point. As I was leaving, she went, right, love you, see you later. And she immediately just went, oh God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I said, don't worry about it. I know that you didn't mean it how you thought you do. And then I got on the train at the train station, which was literally like a 2-minute walk down the road. And I got a message on my phone saying, please don't read anything into that. Please don't. And I was like, no, it's fine. Please calm down. I know it was just a slip of the tongue. Like, don't worry about it.
That'd make me feel worse. That'd make me feel worse. Go on. Go on.
What, then, well, yeah, like, you know, please, I mean, she was the one who was basically making the point, I don't, you know, please don't think that I'm, because we weren't together.
Yeah.
Like, if we were, I think it would have been a bit weird to have that whole kind of conversation, but I've been in that kind of, well, I've had an experience of a similar kind of situation where someone has said I love you a bit too early. And you don't quite know how to deal with it. And the best way to deal with it is just to deal with it like a mature adult. Which is exactly what Wanda does in this episode of BoJack. Does the total opposite. To the point where he forgets that you can't ignore a pager. You can just leave it.
No, I mean,
it sends him round the twist.
I'm very much a BoJack. XXX girlfriend. So I'd left my childhood sweetheart. BoJack Horseman, man. It gets me deep. So I left my childhood sweetheart for a girl that I'd known about 3 weeks, and I worked with her. And it clearly all worked out really, really well. So we're in a club. Shout out Leb Mill Sheffield. Yeah, you know where. Yeah, it's a bit of an iconic place. It were quiet. It were Tuesday night. I'd had a lot to drink. I was out with a friend and she was out with us and one of her friends. And I come up to her, I think something like The Cribs or The Arctic Monkeys or Pulp were playing. And I come out with like the words and I word it in the most awful and cringeworthy ways. I think I'm falling in love with you. And she just walks off. So that was... you know, that was instantly destined for greatness. So that word means a lot, but I toss it around a lot. Not as much, you know. I mean, Yeah, so watch out, ladies. You know, I get very easily attached. So
well, yeah. I mean, like, you were planning on proposing to a girl if she quoted BoJack, so, like, you know.
Well, I already love her. She don't even know.
This is this is true to your character.
You know, well, it's not a character, unfortunately. It's just an unfortunate human being. But hopefully, I can meet another unfortunate human being, and we can be well, or I can be very happy.
Yeah, together. You can get married in 2 weeks and just watch BoJack.
Yeah, over
the
and
whole
over
time.
Again. Yeah, BoJack, and then whatever she wants to watch after a certain amount of time.
Yeah. So there is another plot to this episode, which is the Mr. Peanut Butter stuff.
Perfect.
He has a couple of amazing lines in this episode. I'm such a good team player that I make all the other team players look like garbage. and if your dreams didn't come true, you probably just didn't try hard enough.
Also, Lady Footlocker, meet your lord. I don't know why that cracked me up.
No, pretty big fan of Mr. Peanut Butter in this episode. It gives Princess Carolyn something to do that's like a mix between her agent stuff and her just being someone who tries so hard all of the time to make sure that she betters herself, but it doesn't quite work out. And even the rutabaga stuff was nicely emotionally handled in this episode, I thought. He wasn't, like, irritating. He's supposed to be a bit too chipper for Princess Carolyn and that kind of environment that she's got herself into. Although I did have a couple of realisations in this episode about Princess Carolyn, mainly the name of the agencies that she works for. Because at the moment she works for Vigor, and she goes on to work for Vim, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Vim and Vigor, that's only just clicked, which is probably about 4 rewatches too late for that. But yeah, no, I was a pretty big fan of working that joke out. Like, I thought that added a lot for some reason. I've no idea why, but it's a nice little pun. The stuff with JD Salinger is fine. By the way, this is just a little thing, but I love the design of the little neighborhood that she finds his shop in, the bike shop. I love the design of that neighborhood. I think that's really gorgeous. It reminds me of little side streets that I visited on the northeast coast of America when I was about maybe 9-10 years old. And then again, when I was 19, It reminds me a lot of little places. Like, I mean, I say little, like everybody knows Princeton, but it's not a very big place. It's a few high streets and a massive university. Like that's Princeton. And there's other similar places that I visited in Vermont and New Hampshire, that were of similar kind of makeup, these little kind of quaint summery villages that are really, really nice to look at and kind of spend a nice day strolling very slowly through. It's a different side of America to the one that we're shown in quite a lot of BoJack, actually, you know?
The big and the brash and the bright.
Yeah, it's very much the opposite. You know, I think it was Hugh Laurie that said, like, you know, because obviously he's grown up over here and he spent a lot of time in the States doing House. And he said that the major difference between the UK and the US is religion. He said that, you know, the US is way more devout than over here. But he did mention in the same interview that, like, everything in the States is about 5% bigger. Like, the cars are 5% bigger, the buildings, the gap from the road to the pavement, like the size of the curb, they're everything's about 5% bigger, and the people. You know, I can't comment much on that, but I'm, you know, maybe that's the case. You know, the houses are 5% bigger as well. Everything's, like I said, everything's about 5% bigger, and I think that when you're in these neighborhoods, you kind of forget that for a second. Like, you feel like you're not necessarily in an English country village, but everything feels a bit more accustomed to the heights that we're used to. And I love the design of the village that manages to capture that. It's weird how they don't know me, they don't know my memories, the people who make the show, and yet they've managed to design... they've basically managed to pluck a village right out of my memories, even though they've never seen them. So I was a fan of that, and I was a fan of the way that the way that I know it's not, obviously it's not JD Salinger, but he just kind of gives up the charade immediately.
Yeah.
It doesn't even try.
I mean, have you ever read Catcher in the Rye at all?
I haven't.
No, I'm not big. I mean, I think it's a book that you're meant to read when you're like 13, 14, and it's definitely, I mean, why is a man of that age writing a book like, you know, someone going through teenage angst, which
okay.
is why I get, like, I enjoy him more on BoJack than I do as a writer, because there's all these knowing, knowing nods to his, well, I'll say a literary career, but, well, just to his one book, the famous book. I didn't like it when I read it first, when I was of the age that I was, I presume, supposed to read it. But he's a great character, and I'm a fan of the quiz show idea. It's just like so.
Well, it sets up. It sets up one of the best episodes of the season, I think.
If not the show, yeah.
Yeah. Really big fan of that. I didn't realise that JD Salinger in this was voiced by Alan Arkin, by the way.
But I can tell now.
He's in various things.
I mean,
the role I know him best as for is Edwin in Little Miss Sunshine.
Is he in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
I don't know that for sure. I could definitely look that up right now, but
I believe he is, but he's very accomplished.
There's nothing coming up on his wiki page for some reason. His The Russians are coming, Wait Until Dark, The Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
Wait Until Dark, that's Audrey Hepburn. Where she plays a blind.
Yes, woman. It is, yes.
Yeah, I had to watch that at university, and surprisingly decent. I think she got nominated for Best Actress for that. Because
oh, cool.
Everybody yeah. always thinks of her as just being Holly Golightly, but no, she was quite an impressive actress, I think.
Oh, lovely. But yeah, no, he was fun in this episode. I think that...
He's in Argo, he's not in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. I don't know why I got him mixed up.
Argo, yes, yeah. That's the one. I suppose where bits of this episode fall short is that the autoerotic asphyxiation stuff makes for some good stuff, like the basically anything that involves the morning time Hollywood, I'm some lady, actress or something sitting in for some lady, that all comes about because of that, and the way that they deal with it so insensitively. And you know, there's a few, but I wasn't a huge fan of the elephant in the room joke.
I liked that. It was a bit on the nose, but that worked fine for me. But it did detract from, you know, what we wanted to see with BoJack and Wanda and the L word.
Yeah. But to be honest, I love how Wanda deals with basically everything in the show. She is the perfect foil for BoJack, and it's a shame that they, as we find out eventually, it's a shame that they don't work, because they really do work.
Yeah,
I think
a less broken BoJack is ideal.
Yeah, you don't make me feel less broken.
But obviously, his demons get in the way. I mean, it happens to the best, or the best of us, the worst of us. It happens to us, it happens to people. It's
yeah.
not nice to see, but it happens, and it's rare for an animated show to really delve into that. Well, or any show really. It's all a bit, everything's a bit light-hearted or far too grim. But this is it's an unhappy medium. But it's good. It's just depressing to see where he goes from this and what happens. Hmm. And because it all did seem a bit too good to be true.
It did. I think that's the problem, really, in the, you know, one of the first episodes of this season. Wanda is described as his perfect match in that song.
Yeah.
And sadly, I think, you know, the perfect match for BoJack is not maybe... It's not a good position for that person to be in. Like, you know, it's great for BoJack, but it's in the end, all BoJack really seems to do is suck people into his orbit. And this is kind of the beginning stages of it. And like, it's presented as a bit, you know, it's presented as a jokey thing. But, you know, it's just, this is like the beginning of their breakup where like something so, just so silly and innocuous just becomes a whole scheme because, like, I know it's a comedy thing, but, like, he just doesn't know how to deal with anything that's slightly emotionally not quite what he expected, and it's just, yeah, he's not mature, and it just, I don't know, it's just, we'll see in later episodes, we will.
Yeah, I mean,
try not to talk about it too much, but
it's unfortunate to see, I mean, unfortunately for me, at certain times, I kind of see some parallels. I mean, hopefully I'm getting out of that. But I believe that there is people out there where they don't know. Well, it is true that, like, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. In a lot of cases, hopefully. I mean, a lot of people, like, do get out of one hurl and out. But a lot of people like get out of one hole and just go straight into another, and I think BoJack's he is very much an example of that. It's not refreshing, but it's good to see this like portrayed in a television show, because a lot of people, I think they feel broken as well, and there's no real explanation for it. I mean, you can point to things like such as his upbringing and his poor childhood, and which again gets touched on like dramatically later on, but it's depressing and it's distressing to see that he has like something so good right in front of him and he doesn't appreciate. Well, he appreciates it now, but he grows out of appreciating and he just becomes.
I don't think he recognises it.
No, he becomes himself, which is unfortunate.
So I would give. I would give this episode 7.5.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
I think it's of a good standard, nearly great.
Yeah,
enjoyed it, but just, you know, there are better ones.
Yeah, it's a strong 7 to a light 8, very close to, you know, being essential. There's bits that I don't like, obviously, like Rutabaga, I'm not a fan of, but.
Shout out to the bagel catcher callback.
Yes. I mean,
a rye catcher. Yeah. That's a good joke. That's a great joke. That's very, very nicely done. Well done, writers.
I mean, any PB Living like banter is an instant pass for me. Any Mr. Peanut Butter almost being unaware or unassuming is great. Like when he explains the suicide of Ronnie. And he's almost talking the audience through it. And when he's walking down the street, like looking for a job, and the paper gets in his face, straight in his face, it's the perfect amount of Mr. Peanut Butter. And we see it obviously later on in the season, potentially his peak when he's hosting the quiz show. But the highlight of the episode, after rewatching it again today, it's the movie poster for Tag, it's the tagline, no pun intended, in a world where everyone is running away, one man is it. I mean, what? It's just so like, nonsensical that it works for this show. It's one of my favourite, I don't think I've ever seen anybody mention it before. I had to pause it to get it all written down. But Peanut Butter is the best, well, he's my MVP so far, halfway through season 2. Just for
cool.
Light 8. Yeah. It just leaves me with that one question there, which I think BoJack asks, or at least it's in my notes. Is autoerotic asphyxiation the only way to get a great girl to love you? Because it works for him. So here's to you.
Is this going to be another method of yours, do you think, when you're out in York?
Oh, yeah, very method, yeah.
trying to find a girl who can quote BoJack Horseman.
And if they don't, then they'll find me in the bathroom or in the bedroom with a tie.
Cool. and a lemon. The lemon's important.
Yeah, I do love a lemon. That's why I always have lemon in my drinks, just in case I feel the need.
So, yeah, I give this 7.5. You're going to go low 8, right?
Low 8, yeah.
Just something I'd like to mention, actually, while we've been away, is that the writers of BoJack Horseman have attempted to unionise in order to get fair pay compared to Los Angeles artists who work for union-covered productions. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to read something from CartoonBrew.com, which is an inside look into the BoJack Horseman crew's struggle to unionise. So Netflix's acclaimed animated series BoJack Horseman is currently in production on its 6th season, but despite the widespread success of the show, the production crew has struggled to receive the same wages and benefits that most Los Angeles artists are granted through union-covered productions. Sources with knowledge of the situation, including a BoJack crew member involved in organising, provided Cartoon Brew a detailed rundown of the actions undertaken by the BoJack crew at Shadow Machine, the Los Angeles studio behind the adult-orientated programme, in order to persuade their employer to negotiate. And there's a whole inside piece on that. The writers have had support from Paul F. Tompkins. They've had support from Patton Oswalt, who have both done great voice acting for the show. So I guess if you want to find out more about the BoJack writing crew attempting to unionize and get fairer wages and better pay, yeah, I suppose you could find it by Googling about it or going on to, like, the BoJack Horseman Reddit. There's always places to find it. I don't have any petitions or links specifically to direct people to, but it's all out there. If you Google the right terms or search them on Twitter, you'll find where you need to be based on what the algorithms tell you to look at. So I have absolutely nothing else to say this week, Sam, but other than that, it has been great to be back.
It has indeed. Hopefully we won't be 4 months between episodes next time.
What have we got next time? Oh, yes. Okay. So we have, in the next episode, the point where I think that BoJack Horseman goes, you know, in the first season, we had the point where BoJack went from being a decent show to a good show. Now we've reached the point where BoJack goes from being a good show to being a great show with Hank After Dark. And let's find out. Now, Hank After Dark, Diane goes off script during BoJack's book tour, jeopardising Mr. Peanut Butter's new show. Todd gets involved in international affairs. And let's find out. BoJack is one of the celebrity guests on the first episode of Mr. Peanut Butter's game show, but this game doesn't go as expected. Featuring a wonderful guest appearance from certain Mr. Daniel Radcliffe, which I'm already looking forward to.
I think it's my favourite episode of season two, well, at least my favourite episode, which it will be so far, like next next time. It's very, 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 very good, and I expect and hope that it affects me like it has done the last few times I've watched it. Is it a perfect episode?
Hollywood stars and celebrities, what do they know? Do they know things? Let's find out. Ciao, everybody.
Ciao for now.